Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to Abe Gordon with the Abe TL Show.
Believe it. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back in the Abe TL Show. It's Abe Gordon here in the Kia Studios. Week 11 in the NFL. The Atlanta Falcons find themselves at 6-4. They're looking to move to 7-4. To do that, they're going to have to beat a pretty tough and sturdy Denver Broncos squad. And there's a lot of other sidelines stories that's going on there, but I'm sure you'll hear plenty about that when John Fricke takes the mic for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. That's coming up in 1 hour. After that, you'll get into the official pregame show with Mike Johnson, Chris Goforth, Wes and Dave with the call, and then the Falcons fly over after Mike and Chris Goforth come back for the postgame show. And during all of that, I am going to be at McCray's Tavern in Smyrna. So come hang out for a Falcons watch party. Freddie Falcon and the cheer team's going to be there. You're going to have an opportunity to win Falcons tickets or Kirk Cousins autograph item. So come hang out. But of course, as always, the Atlanta Falcons not the only game in Week 11 of the NFL. It's an interesting week. There's a lot of storylines in the 1 p.m. games, even though the games themselves may not be the juiciest matchups of all time. But boy, some of these 4 o'clock and tonight, Sunday Night Football, should be a good one. But we're going to kick things off with the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. What has happened to Caleb Williams? He was trending up after a bumpy start. Looks like he had become the future quarterback that the Bears had hoped he would become, and that has completely fallen off. And how are they going to rebound against a Packers team that is trying to make a statement about where they stand in the NFC? This game is at home for the Bears. They're going to need more from Caleb Williams. The offense has been an unmitigated disaster ever since they gave up a Hail Mary in a loss to the Washington Commanders. Can they find some footing? Because they are sliding badly. And there were some rumors and reports over the week that some of the players were asking for Tyson Bagent, the backup, to start over Caleb Williams. Those reports and rumors are apparently just that. It sounds like that never actually happened. But you know how it is with blogs and all sorts of other stuff and people making reports look real. So we'll see if Caleb Williams can get going again. Also at 1 o'clock, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Detroit Lions at home. The Lions, an opportunity to continue to stamp themselves as the team to beat in the NFC. Right now, there's a lot of questions about who else could contend in the NFC. Not too many questions about the Lions. They're coming off a game in which their quarterback, who's hoping to make a case for himself as MVP, Jared Goff, threw a boatload of interceptions, still found a way to win. The Jaguars have really been struggling. No Trevor Lawrence again today. They're going to take this week, and they have a bye week next week, same as the Falcons. And they're going to take that and try and get him to recover from his shoulder injury. I'm Abe Gordon. It's the Abe TL Show, working our way through Week 11 in the NFL. Minnesota Vikings against the Tennessee Titans. The Vikings looking for a bounce-back effort. I know they got the win, but it was ugly. And they've kind of been in that discussion for NFC contention as well. You want to see Sam Darnold find a little bit more like what he looked like in the early parts of the season. The Las Vegas Raiders at the Miami Dolphins. The Raiders sticking with Gardner Minshew in this one. But the Dolphins, an opportunity now with Tua back and healthy to maybe go on a little bit of a run. And their schedule is open to seeing them put together a couple of streaks and maybe fight themselves into the playoff discussion for a wild card spot. And that starts today at home against the Raiders. Certainly a game you have to win if you're Miami, if you want to make that case. The Rams, also with some wins coming on their schedule. They're at New England today on the road, so we'll see if they can pick apart Drake May. The Rams have been playing a lot better, too. They've gotten healthier, the receiver core, and the defense has started to play a little bit better as well. Browns and Saints, what's the future for each of these teams? Obviously, the Saints coming off that win against the Falcons, interim coach and all. We'll see if they can try and find a repeat effort at home. Nick Chubb hopefully getting a little bit healthier for the Browns. Been a slow return for him, not a surprise. And Jameis Winston, we'll see what's going on there. But very interested in the future of each of these teams because these two teams could ultimately be playing for the number one pick at some point down the line. Indianapolis Colts and the New York Jets also at 1 o'clock. Anthony Richardson back at quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. The New York Jets, I don't know what to tell you. You could talk about the talent they supposedly have on that team. It has been a mess. And Aaron Rodgers, a lot of people were like, oh, it's only been a couple years since he was an MVP. That seems like a lifetime ago. And I know he had the injury in between, but he is not getting it done. He's not close to getting it done. He's had issues really getting it going with some of his receivers as well. And so we'll see if they can kind of step on it a little bit against the Colts team. You feel like they're going to have an opportunity, but we'll see just what Anthony Richardson brings back after a couple of weeks off. Bryce Young looked better after being benched for a couple of weeks. Let's see if maybe the same comes from Anthony Richardson. And then the best game of the 1 o'clock slate is in the AFC North. It's the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, Russell Wilson. And I think you're going to learn a little bit about a couple of things today. The Ravens have had an interesting season. I know Lamar's trending towards an MVP. It feels like they're one of the best teams in the AFC, but it also I've seen them be beatable in weeks. And the Steelers at home today, first off, the Steelers have done an outstanding job against Lamar Jackson. They're probably the only team that can say that. Historically, they've done a very good job. We'll see how it goes today. And then they're looking a little bit better on offense as well. Russell Wilson has come in, and they've started to hit some of the big plays they were looking for in the past game. And so this is a really good one. And I'm trying to figure out just how real the Pittsburgh Steelers are. I think we find a little bit of that out today when they host the Ravens at 1 o'clock. Hopefully that game is on here locally, and I have to check with the Falcons being a 4 o'clock kick if we're getting that game. I'm hoping so because that's the one I want to go home and watch. We know the Falcons are over there at 4 o'clock. Also, 4:05, Seattle Seahawks against the San Francisco 49ers. A nice little battle in the NFC West. I still think the 49ers are super dangerous if they can get and stay healthy. We're getting Christian McCaffrey in his second week. We'll see if he can be a little bit better than he was a week ago. But 49ers still seem dangerous. We'll see how they trend. And then the big game of the day between two of the top teams in the AFC, and there's a couple big games, but at 4:25, Kansas City Chiefs take their undefeated record. They go on the road to face the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills are going to be missing a couple of players. I know Amari Cooper was questionable. He says that he's going to play, but we'll see. But they definitely are going to be missing Dalton Kincaid. I think this is a statement game at home for Buffalo, though. Kansas City, kind of like the Miami Hurricanes in college, they've been messing around a little bit. They found a way to stay undefeated, but will it catch up with them? It caught up with Miami against Georgia Tech last week. Will it catch up with the Chiefs today on the road in Buffalo? Obviously, Buffalo has had a nightmare of a time historically with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Can they turn that around a little bit today? And obviously, it doesn't mean anything for the playoffs, but a nice little confidence boost if Buffalo can pick up a win today. Sunday night football, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Chargers. And here's the thing about the Chargers. They're playing pretty good on defense and pretty good on offense. And they are very quietly kind of a problem in the AFC. That's the one team that maybe isn't getting enough attention right now. And then you got the Bengals who are trying to kind of find the top A-level stuff that they had a couple of years ago, part of their Super Bowl run. They're good. Just how good? And Joe Burrow's good. But something still seems off a little bit about the Bengals. We'll see if they can put it together. But the Chargers, I think people will open their eyes to the Chargers if they're able to pick home a victory tonight. This is a really good one on Sunday Night Football. Looking forward to that. And then tomorrow, Monday Night Football, the Houston Texans and the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas, I don't know, man. It just doesn't feel like they have any answers for what's going on there. Certainly no Dak Prescott. I would have gone with Trey Lance by now. We'll see what they're doing. Cooper Rush, I think we know what he is. And that's a backup. Like, and I'm not saying Trey Lance is some guy that's going to come in and light it up and become Brock Purdy, but I would be going with Trey Lance at this point. The season is, as much as Jerry doesn't want to admit it, as much as Cowboys fans and the team doesn't want to admit it, the season's over for them. Like, the season's lost. I don't think they can turn it around and get hot and find a role and get going. The season's lost. I would take a look at Trey Lance. That's just me. Teams that are off today, the New York Giants, the Arizona Cardinals, and then the NFC South duo of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers. One game we did not break down just now is the game that at least I care most about, and I believe most of my listeners here on 92.9 also care the most about. That's the Atlanta Falcons. They're going in to Denver at 4:05. Again, we're going to be hosting a watch party. I'm going to be hosting a watch party at McCray's Tavern in Smyrna. Come hang out today. Make sure you sign in for the raffle, opportunity to win Falcons Chargers tickets, opportunity to win a Kirk Cousins autographed item as well. There's going to be Bud Light specials throughout the day. So if you do, please be 21 and drink responsibly. And Freddie Falcon and the cheer team are going to be hanging out as well. So that's McCray's Tavern in Smyrna for the Falcons game as they go for a win today against the Denver Broncos. And when we get back, we're going to talk about that game and talk about why you should be confident, but also why you should be cautious. I think this is a dangerous Denver team, and I'm hoping we get a dangerous Falcons team. Last week, that was not what they were. It's going to look a little bit different this week. I'm hoping so. We saw the Georgia Bulldogs rise to the occasion last night. Can the Atlanta Falcons do the same? We'll talk about it coming up on the other side. It is Abe Gordon in the Kia Studios. The Abe TL Show continues in about 5-6 minutes right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to Abe Gordon with the Abe TL Show.
Believe it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in 92.9 The Game. Abe TL Show. About what we've seen and what we hope to see in the world of football over the last 24 hours and coming up. Obviously, a big day in college football yesterday with the stamp of the day being the Georgia Bulldogs and their performance against the Tennessee Volunteers. Obviously, Kansas got a big win to upset number 6 BYU. Take them out the rankings, the ranks of unbeaten. Florida got a win against LSU. Florida now one game away from bowl eligibility. South Carolina continues. Clemson had a crazy finish. Colorado got it done as well. A couple of crazy finishes. Clemson and that South Carolina game. Both of the South Carolina teams getting it done at the end. That was yesterday, though. Congrats again to the Georgia Bulldogs. Very impressive performance. And now they've just a couple of moments ago announced the commitment of another top-ranked tight end. So they keep getting it done at that position. That was yesterday's football. Today's football is the NFL, and more specifically the Atlanta Falcons, who are going up to Denver to take on a Broncos team that is kind of finding their way a little bit. Obviously, the rookie quarterback in Bo Nix has kept some teams in it throughout the course of the season. They're being a little bit smart with what they're asking him to do and how they're asking him to play. And look, maybe that's cost them a game here or there. Maybe not. But the one thing that hasn't cost them a game here or there is that defense for Denver. And the Atlanta Falcons are coming off a performance a week ago against the New Orleans Saints. A pretty good defense in their own right, in which they really struggled to find themselves offensively. And it took until Bijan Robinson had a bruising, punishing touchdown run to really get it going for the Atlanta Falcons. And you would like to get to that stage a little bit quicker. So what sort of game do the Falcons have to play today in Denver to beat the Broncos? This is a Broncos defense that ranks fifth overall in the NFL in yards allowed. They are second in sacks. They are fourth in points allowed per game. I mean, quite frankly, this is one of, and I think you could even argue the, but certainly one of, the best defenses in the NFL. And so it's going to come down to how clean a game can you play on offense. They get after the quarterback. Kirk Cousins is not one to normally escape the sack. You've got to avoid the turnovers if you're Kirk Cousins. You can't let the pressure force you into a mistake. That is what the defense for the Broncos is hoping to do. Make it easy for Bo Nix. That's been their whole goal all season long. Now, on the flip side, the Broncos offense, 23rd in yards allowed, 22nd in points per game. So this is a situation where the Falcons maybe don't necessarily need to score 34, 37 points to win. The Broncos are probably going to have a tough time of their own cracking the 20 or 24 point mark. So yeah, I would look for this game to be played somewhere in the mid-20s. I think if you're the Falcons and you get to the mid or upper 20s, we're talking 25, 28, 31 even, you'd feel pretty good about this game. And then despite the fact that the Broncos defense, I just ran through it, fifth overall in yards, fourth overall in points, second in the NFL in sacks, they still have a minus one turnover margin. And so they're not necessarily running up the scoreboard because of the turnovers. The Falcons are minus two, unfortunately, so they got to fix that themselves. But the Broncos aren't doing it necessarily with turnovers. What do the Falcons need to turn this game into? Because it's probably not going to be a shootout. It's certainly, I don't know if the Falcons could get up and down the field and put points on the board to turn it into a shootout. I certainly don't think the Broncos can. And so what are the Falcons going to look to do? Against a team that is second in the NFL in sacks, I think you have got to do what you can to keep Kirk Cousins from standing back there and holding the ball. What does that mean? You want to try to find that run game early. And it's not like that's a surprise. I think they do a decent enough job of that regularly, but you got to find a way to stay ahead of or at the sticks. I think you get into those third and longs and it becomes obvious passing downs, and that's when the Broncos are going to get after you. I do expect, as we have seen, and it's, and quite frankly, if you're going to be honest, it's kind of a similar discussion we had last weekend when Georgia was facing Ole Miss, and you had the Ole Miss front, and you're like, all right, what is Carson Beck going to do? Find the run game, use screen passes and short pass plays, and work it there. And then when you have a chance, maybe Max Pro and open up deep. I kind of think the same thing here for the Atlanta Falcons is that you're going to have a lot of short, quick pass plays, potentially screen plays, dump downs, stuff like that. But you cannot just sit there with Kirk Cousins looking down the field, holding onto the ball, waiting to find a big play. I think that's going to put you in trouble with that Broncos pass rush. You got to run the ball. You got to stop the run. If it's me, I'm going to force Bo Nix to beat him. I'm not going to let Audric Estime and Javonte Williams get going on the ground. Need to make it tough for that rookie quarterback. And here's the other thing. You can get out to a lead, and now you're forcing the Broncos to play with the ball in the hands of Bo Nix. and that would certainly be an advantage too. We feel good about Young Weku today? I mean, this is the sort of game against this sort of team where you might be relying on field goals. And hopefully not, right? We'd like to be kicking extra points. If we are, you're probably feeling pretty good about it. But I think there's going to be some situations. And it'll be interesting to see, because I don't care if Raheem Morris is like, we're going to ride him till the wheels fall off. We have the utmost confidence. That's fine. Now, I was saying last week, 4th and 3, instead of letting Young Weku try that last field goal, they should go for it. It's going to be interesting to see if there's decisions or situations where Raheem Morris has a choice, go for it or kick, and what that decision is going to be. I know they say they have the utmost confidence in Young Weku, but everyone is human, and there's that little piece talking to you in your back of your head that said, do we really want to run this guy out there for this kick right now? So I'm interested to see that sort of situation and what the decision eventually comes out being. For the Falcons, are you comfortable playing field position? Are you comfortable time of possession? Are you comfortable trading punts? Or is that not a comfort level for you? Because I think that certainly is a comfort area for the Denver Broncos. They're happy to trade stops and then try and find a score when they can. I think the Atlanta Falcons certainly, with the offense that they've had, with the way that they played games this year, they're going to want to look to find some scoring drives and move the ball and get it going. And it will be interesting to see against that defense if they can. It's a no-brainer, like we talk about it every week, but getting off to a fast start against Denver, I think would go a long way to building confidence for the Atlanta Falcons offense. And I don't want to say I'm looking at this game as a statement game for the Falcons today, but I think certainly it would make you feel a lot better coming off the performance against New Orleans. And that's really what it boils down to. There was a lot of optimism and a lot of focus and a lot of good feeling and trending and all this before that Saints game. I mean, I know you had the Seahawks game 3 weeks prior, but you rebounded from that, and you're starting to feel good again as a Falcons fan. Then you walk into a situation with the Saints that almost felt like you couldn't lose. It almost felt like you shouldn't lose, at least. And you did. And you had everything going for you in that game. They had just traded one of their best defensive players. Some of their receivers are hurt. You had a new head coach. All this stuff. And you just didn't show up, didn't get it done. How do you rebound? How do you bounce back? Because you're heading into an off week, and it'd feel a heck of a lot better heading into an off week 7-4 in absolute control of the NFC South than it would coming into a bye week with a two-game losing streak. Especially because you are certainly better than at least one of those teams, and we'll see how we feel about today's game. I am pretty optimistic and pretty confident that the Atlanta Falcons offense is going to find ways to score. I hope I'm right, because if they're not able to move the ball, I do think Denver has enough on offense. The run game's a concern a little bit. Audric Estime has really been trending upwards in that run game for Denver. Bo Nix can run it too, and you're going to have to deal with the quarterback with his legs moving it. Now, you know, look, he's not necessarily Lamar Jackson, but he can move the ball. He can make things tricky, extend plays, and you're going to have to deal with that on the back end. We got a couple of storylines involved here as well. Justin Simmons, Falcons safety, obviously spent the earlier portions of his career with the Denver Broncos. A little homecoming from him. He certainly just came over in the offseason. And then there's the storyline of the Denver Broncos head coach. And while this doesn't really get under my nerves, like, I don't really play that weird game of, like, I want to beat this guy more than I want to beat that. I just want to win the game. I don't really care who it's against. But there's certainly going to be people who want to win this game, I guess, more because it's Sean Payton. If you're in that group, feel free to be in that group. I just want to win the game, man. And so that's where I stand. Again, we're going to be talking about this live and in person today at McCray's Tavern, the official Atlanta Falcons watch party, 92.9 The Game. I'm going to be there. Bud Light is going to have some drink specials. Freddie Falcon is going to be there, a cheer team. Former Falcon running back Gary Downs is going to be there as well. If you don't, maybe you're not the most familiar with him. That is Caleb Downs' father. He played running back for the Falcons a little while ago. So we'll be talking to him a little bit about what's going on with the game, and then certainly your opportunity to win Falcons versus Chargers tickets and an autographed Kirk Cousins item as well. So it should be a pretty fun afternoon. Again, that's going down at McCray's Tavern in Smyrna. And by the way, if you're going to come out, shoot me a note on Twitter. Hit me up and say, hey, I'm coming out. Look for me. Let me know if you're coming. I'm interested to see how many of my listeners I can meet and talk to. I know I've met some of you before, but there's certainly a good portion of you that I haven't met. And maybe this is close to your home. Maybe you're looking for something to do this afternoon before or part of during dinner, because you know McCray's got the food hookup. Come on out, though, and watch the Falcons game with me. I'm going to be hanging out. I'm hoping to be there all game. If I leave early, that means it's not going well. Just know. I mean, because I know, like, I'm only obligated to, like, no one wants to hear from me after halftime, right? Like, all of it's building up to the giveaways at halftime, and then some people leave. I'll be sticking around for the game. If I find myself being like, all right, my job's done here, time to go home, it is bad for the Falcons because I want to stay there and watch a win with all my people. But if it's looking like that, I might have to leave and just go wallow at home and start working on the rundown for Andy and Randy for tomorrow. So come and hang out at McCray's Tavern. I'm going to be there. Gary Downs is going to be there. Freddie Falcon's going to be there. So it's family friendly. Bring your kids as well. There's going to be the cheer team. You can take photos. You got Bud Light specials. If you're 21 plus, please drink responsibly. And again, the giveaway for the Kirk Cousins autographed item and Falcons Chargers ticket. So again, 4 o'clock, McCray's Tavern right there in Smyrna. But we got a couple of hours until then. And we've got only one segment until we are done here on the Abe TL Show. We're going to be handing things off to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke and Joe Patrick are coming your way in about 25 minutes. I'm going to step aside for 5-6 minutes. When we get back, we're going to reset a little bit. What happened last night? The Georgia Bulldogs are also going to get you ready for Hawks action today. Talk a little bit about Dyson Daniels. And he's got a couple of nicknames that have kind of been thrown around out there. I'll tell you which one's my favorite as well. All that and more as we wrap up the Abe TL Show. It's Abe Gordon in the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Back to Abe Gordon with the Abe TL Show.
Believe it. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon here hanging out. Just a couple of minutes left on the Abe TL Show today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I got, ESPN Sunday NFL Countdown, whatever they call that show. I don't watch a lot of pregame shows, neither in college or in the pros, but it happened to be on here. And obviously, normally at this point, I don't know what I would be doing at this point. Probably taking a nap. I mean, I know it's early to like have already woken up and then taken a nap, but yeah. Probably would be taking a nap normally until like right before kickoff. I go walk the dog real quick and then kickoff is ready to roll. But they did their picks for the Denver Broncos in the Atlanta Falcons games. I was worried for a moment there. I thought it was going to be a clean sweep. But ESPN Greeny, Mike Greenberg, saved the day. Everyone on that desk, Randy Moss and Rex Ryan and Teddy Bruschi, they all picked the Denver Broncos. Greeny picked the Atlanta Falcons. Maybe they were doing it just to avoid a clean sweep. They didn't want Falcons fans, you know, screenshotting it and doing it that way. But the majority there at ESPN seems to think that the Denver Broncos are going to handle business in today's game. All right, good luck. You know, we'll see how it plays out. Again, it is a tall task for the Atlanta Falcons. I don't want to I've tried not to undersell the Denver Broncos, and I know they're not going to win the AFC West, right? They're probably the third best team in that division, if we're going to be honest, right? The Chiefs are probably number one. I think the Chargers are charging up the board, and they're number two. And the Broncos are probably the third best team in the AFC West. But that doesn't mean they're not a very good team. And this is going to be a tough game for the Atlanta Falcons. They have got to play smart, careful with the ball on offense. This is a very good Broncos defense. Again, fifth overall in yards allowed, fourth overall in points allowed, second in the NFL in sacks. And so they can cause problems. The Atlanta Falcons are going to try and find some answers on offense. I think that starts by developing and committing to the run. And I'll be honest, like, as much as we like Bijan Robinson, and I do, today kind of feels in Denver like it might be a Tyler Algier game. It feels like you're going to need that level of tough running, tough yards, to pop a couple openings for Bijan. So we'll see how it plays out. Today might finally be one, and we've talked about running back balance all season long. It feels like they've gone one or the other. But, like, once or twice they've had, like, Bijan has 13, Algier had 12 carries, something like that. Today feels like it's going to be a balanced day. I don't think we're going to see, like, 18 for one of them and 4 carries for the other. And so we'll see that. And then I also think you're going to see Bijan be used in the pass game quite a bit today, trying to get the ball out of Kirk Cousins' hand because of just how good that Broncos pass rush can be. A couple other things. Hawks tonight. They're in Portland. They're coming off another win on Friday night against the Washington Wizards. And look, Dyson Daniels continues to impress. 25 points and 6 steals. Certainly the acquisition of the offseason for the Atlanta Hawks. I know there's a lot of people having some early season discussions about most improved player, and they're putting Dyson Daniels' name in that category, certainly. I think you're having a lot of questions about defensive player of the year. And you start to look at the steal numbers, the deflection totals, and you start to wonder about that. And obviously, I don't think he's expected to have 6 steals every game moving forward, although I'd take it if he did. But he certainly is doing that. What's almost more impressive is what he's given you on offense. I think there was this mindset coming in from his time in New Orleans that, yeah, he's this great elite defender, and maybe he's kind of a hidden gem defensively, but you know what you're getting on defense. The offense, however, lacks. He's got 7 points a game, and his career high was only 13 or whatever. And we have gone completely to the other side in regards to that. And I don't know if it's whether his defense is turning to offense. He's shooting a lot better than a lot of people thought. And I think we saw that kind of in the Olympic tournament as well. But he has become a mildly reliable piece on offense as well. And I think that certainly has been important for him. I mentioned heading into break, the tease was the variety of nicknames that we've seen for Dyson Daniels. I know Thunder from the Plunder from Down Under is kind of part of it. I got to be honest, Great Barrier Thief is like an all-time quality nickname. And so I'm hoping that's the one that people kind of settle on and went out with. Great Barrier Thief is I mean, that's just high quality stuff. And so that's my favorite of the nicknames, but you can call him whatever you want as long as he keeps playing the way he has. Again, they're going to take on a tough Trailblazer squad today, and because of all the Falcons coverage, this game is going to be on V103 pregame at 5:30. Even though they're West Coast in Portland, pregame's 5:30. Tip is at 6 o'clock, so it's a 3 o'clock local tip there in Portland. And a tough Portland team when they want to be, but there are certainly games where they come in and have it, and there are certainly games where they come in and they look disinterested, and you can blow them out. And I'm hoping that's what we get out of them tonight. Again, Georgia last night, they beat Tennessee 31-17. I think it was Carson Beck's best performance of the season offensively. I think as a team, it was their best performance of the season on offense as well. The thing that probably impressed me most is it wasn't necessarily a defensive-led effort to get to 31 points. The offense had to work hard for their scoring drives. It was not the defense turning it over or creating short fields, stuff like that. They had to work for their scoring drives. Their touchdown drives were of 75 yards, 84 yards, 87 yards, and 92 yards. Those were your four touchdown drives for the Georgia Bulldogs. And so Carson Beck had it working, 347 yards passing, two touchdowns, both of those to Oscar Delp, the tight end. And then more importantly, zero interceptions, zero sacks taken. So credit to Carson Beck, credit to the offensive line, credit to Mike Bobo, and yes, to the receivers and tight ends as well. There were some drop passes. At least one touchdown was dropped. Some big plays early on were dropped. But things did settle down a little bit, and the offense got moving. I thought the defense did a good job. Task number one yesterday for the Georgia Bulldogs was to limit Dylan Sampson. He had just a 101 on the ground. He did have a touchdown, a nice run. I don't remember if it was 25, 30, whatever it was. But they limited him to just 101 yards. Nico, only 167 yards passing despite 33 attempts. And the Georgia front, five sacks last night against Tennessee. Tennessee had zero against the Georgia Bulldogs. I mentioned that. That was one of the things I was interested in coming into this game. We knew Tennessee had a pretty good defense. By the way, Georgia's 31 points, the most Tennessee has given up this season by quite a margin. They had not given up 20 to anyone all year long, so impressive for Georgia to get to 31. But it's been a good Tennessee defense, but their sack numbers are just about average. They were kind of, well, before yesterday, they were in line with Georgia. Now they're behind Georgia. They don't get after the quarterback the way that Ole Miss does. And so the offensive line stepped up. And with Georgia, they start to enter back into, I think maybe they can win the national championship. They got to play like that. The offensive line has to perform like that. But we've been waiting to see an offensive performance out of the Georgia Bulldogs that maybe we could trust. And whether or not they bring it out every week is its own issue, the consistency. But I've been waiting to see a performance to be like, hey, you see that? That's an offense that can win a national championship if the defense plays like they did last night, like they did against Texas. And so, look, Georgia's not going to waltz to a national title this year. They're going to have to put it together for a number of games in a row on both sides of the ball. Whether or not they can do that is its own discussion. But I think they are good enough on both sides to win a national championship. It's still going to be tough to actually do that. You've got other teams that I think are good enough on both sides of the ball as well. I think Ohio State can do that. I think Oregon can do that. I think Alabama and Ole Miss can do that. TBD still on Texas. Their win over Arkansas, not the most impressive thing I've ever seen. Georgia's in a position now with this win last night over Tennessee. They beat UMass. They beat Georgia Tech. They should be in the college football playoffs. And now there's about six teams in the SEC that are all going to try and make their arguments. Texas, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and even South Carolina is going to give it a little bit of a shout on theirs. They got a tight win over a ranked Missouri team last week. They got an opportunity at the end of the season to get another ranked win over Clemson. And so South Carolina is going to try and play their way potentially into the discussion, into the decision-making. So we'll see how that goes. Again, coming up next, Joe Patrick, I saw him hanging out there. He's doing some last minute, he calls it prep. I don't know if it's prep, but he's doing some last minute prep, getting ready for the Wade Ford tailgate show. Joe Patrick and John Fricke are going to have you covered for the next 2 hours from noon until two, getting you set for Atlanta Falcons, the official pregame show with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson starting at two. And then obviously kickoff for the Atlanta Falcons as called by Wes and Dave right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game or on the Odyssey app, coming your way at 4 o'clock. And for the last time, I invite you all to join me at McCray's Tavern in Smyrna at 4 o'clock. I'll be there a little bit before four, if we're being honest. Couldn't miss kickoff. Can't take a risk. But Come hang out. Gary Downs, former Falcons running back, is going to be hanging out. Father of Colts, Josh Brown, Josh Downs, excuse me, and father of Ohio State five-star safety Caleb Downs. Gary Downs is a former Falcon running back, going to be hanging out. We'll talk with him about what's going on with the game. We'll also make sure you get set up with your Bud Light specials, Freddie Falcon, the cheer team, and an autographed Kirk Cousins item, and Falcons Chargers tickets going to be given away at halftime. So if you're looking for something to do for the game, come hang out with me at McCray's Tavern there in Smyrna. I want to thank Noel, real quick, Noel. Maybe you don't want to spoil this. Do you do picks during the game? What's your prediction for the Falcons Broncos today?
Ooh.
If you don't want to spoil it for Wade Ford, feel free to tell me.
No, I usually don't give a pick for Wade Ford. I'm thinking 13-21, but I'm also thinking that all three phases are going to have to be clicking today.
Is 13-21, is 21 Falcons?
21 Falcons.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty close. I don't think you're going to get more than 27, and I think even that's a stretch.
Agreed.
I think you need to find a way to win this game. If you could get there somewhere in the 23-24 range, if it has to be 21, then so be it. Find a way to win. Find a way to score. Finish drives. No offense, but don't rely on Young Weku to win this game. And hopefully you can head into the off week, the bye week, on a victory note. That's going to do it for me. Again, McCray's Tavern, 4 p.m. Come hang out there in Smyrna. I am Abe Gordon. This has been the Abe TL Show. Want to thank Noelle, as always, for her work. Coming up next, it is John Fricke and Joe Patrick. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Falcons Broncos, today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.